Krishna Book, Canto 12, Rukmini, Chapter 53, Scene 4, Adi Guru, Balaram. While Krishna was dealing with Rukmi in this way, the soldiers of the Yadu dynasty, commanded by Lord Balaram himself, broke the whole strength of Rukmi's army, just as an elephant in a tank discards the feeble stem of a lotus flower. In other words, as an elephant breaks the whole construction of a lotus flower while bathing in a reservoir of water, so the military strength of the Yadus broke up Rukmi's forces. And yet, when the commanders of the Yadu dynasty came back to see Krishna, they were all surprised to see the condition of Rukmi. Lord Balaram became especially compassionate for his sister-in-law, who was newly married to his brother. In order to please Rukmini, Balaram personally untied Rukmi, and in order to further please Rukmini, Balaram, as the elder brother of Krishna, spoke some words of chastisement. Krishna, your action is not at all satisfactory. This is an abomination, very much contrary to our family tradition. To cut someone's hair and shave his mustache and beard is almost comparable to killing him. Whatever Rukmi might have been, he is now our brother-in-law, a relative of our family. And so you should not have put Rukmi into such a condition. After this, in order to pacify her, Lord Balaram spoke to Rukmini. You should not be sorry because your brother has been made very odd-looking, for everyone suffers or enjoys the results of his or her own actions. Lord Balaram wanted to impress upon Rukmini that she should not have been sorry for the consequences suffered by her brother due to his own actions. So there was no need of being too affectionate towards such a brother. Then Lord Balaram again turned toward Krishna. My dear Krishna, a relative, even though one commits such a blunder and deserves to be killed, should be excused. For when such a relative is conscious of his or her own fault, that consciousness itself is like death. Therefore, there is no need in killing Rukmi. Again, Balaram turned towards Rukmini, informing her that the current duty of the Kshatriya in human society is so fixed that according to the principles of fighting, one's own brother may become an enemy on the opposite side. A Kshatriya, therefore, does not hesitate to kill his own brother. In other words, Lord Balaram wanted to instruct Rukmini that both Rukmi and Krishna were right in not showing mercy to each other in the fight, despite the family consideration that they happen to be brothers-in-law. Sri Balaram continued to inform Rukmini that Kshatriyas are typical emblems of the materialistic way of life. They become puffed up whenever there is a question of material acquisition. Therefore, when there is a fight between two belligerent Kshatriyas on account of kingdom, land, wealth, women, prestige, or power, they try to put one another into the most abominable condition. Balaram instructed Rukmini that her affection towards her brother Rukmi, who had created enmity with so many persons, was a perverse consideration befitting an ordinary materialistic person. Rukmini's brother's character was not at all adorable, considering his treatment towards other friends, and yet Rukmini, as an ordinary woman, was so affectionate towards him. Rukmi was not fit to be her brother, and still, Rukmini was lenient towards him. Besides that, the consideration that a person is neutral or is one's friend or enemy is generally made by persons who are in the bodily concept of life. Such foolish persons become bewildered by the illusory energy of the Supreme Lord. The spirit soul is of the same pure quality in any embodiment of matter. But those who are not sufficiently intelligent see only the bodily differentiations of animals and men, literates and illiterates, rich and poor, and so on, which simply cover the pure spirit soul. Such differentiation, observed purely on the basis of the body, is exactly like the differentiation between fires in terms of different types of fuel they consume. Whatever the size and shape of the fuel, there is no such variety of size and shape of the fire which comes out. Similarly, in the sky, there are no differences in size or shape. In this way, Balaram appeased them by his moral and ethical instruction. Balaram stated further, "This body is part of the material manifestation. The living entity or spirit soul, being in contact with matter, is transmigrating due to illusory enjoyment from one body to another, and that is known as material existence. This contact of the living entity with the material manifestation has neither integration nor disintegration. My dear chaste sister-in-law, the spirit soul is, of course, the cause of this material body, as much as the sun is the cause of sunlight, eyesight, and the forms of material manifestation. The example of the sunshine and the material manifestation is very appropriate in the matter of understanding the living entity's contact with this material world. In the morning, there is sunrise, and the heat and light expand gradually throughout the whole day. The sun is the cause of all material production, shapes, and forms. It is due to the sun that integration and disintegration of material elements take place. But as soon as the sun is set, the whole manifestation is no longer connected to the sun, which has passed from one place to another. When the sun passes from the eastern to the western hemisphere, the result of interaction due to the sunshine in the eastern hemisphere remains, but the sunshine itself is visible again on the western hemisphere. Similarly, the living entity accepts or produces different bodies and different bodily relationships in a particular circumstance. But as soon as one gives up the present body and accepts another, he or she has nothing to do with that former body. Similarly, the living entity has nothing to do with the next body which he or she accepts. Thus, one is always free from the contact of this bodily contamination. Therefore, the conclusion is that the appearance and disappearance of the body have nothing to do with the living entity, as much as the waxing and waning of the moon have nothing to do with the moon itself. When there is waxing of the moon, we falsely think that the moon is developing. And when there is waning of the moon, we think that the moon is decreasing. But factually, the moon as it is always the same. It has nothing to do with such visible waxing and waning activities. Consciousness of material existence can be compared to sleeping and dreaming. When a man sleeps, he dreams of many non-factual happenings, and as a result of dreaming, he becomes subjected to different kinds of distress and happiness. Similarly, when a person is in the dreaming condition of material consciousness, one suffers the effects of accepting a body and giving it up again in material existence. Opposite to this material consciousness is Krishna consciousness. In other words, when a man is elevated to the platform of Krishna consciousness, he becomes free from this false conception of life. In this way, Sri Balaram instructed Rukmini and Krishna in spiritual knowledge. Finally, he addressed his sister-in-law, "Sweet, smiling Rukmini, do not be aggrieved by false motives caused by ignorance. Due to false notions only, one becomes unhappy. But this unhappiness is immediately removed by discussing the philosophy of actual life. Therefore, be happy on that platform only." Thus ends chapter 53, scene 4, Adi Guru Balaram. All glories to Krishna Book. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Namo Deva Damodarananta Vishno Prasida Prabho Dukha Chalabdi Magnam Kripa Drishti Vrishtyati Dinang Batanu Grihanesha Mam Agyam Edyakshi Drishyaha Namo Deva Damodarananta Vishno Prasida Prabho Dukha Jalabdi Magnam Kripa Drishti Vrishtyati Dinang Bachanu Vihanesha Mamagyam Edyakshi Drishyaha.
O Supreme Godhead, I offer my obeisances unto you. O Damodara, O Ananta, O Vishnu, O Master, O my Lord, be pleased upon me. By showering your glance of mercy upon me, deliver this poor, ignorant fool who is immersed in an ocean of worldly sorrows and become visible to my eyes.